'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I'm speaking this morning from James chapter 2. I'd like to begin reading in verse 14, and I've entitled this message, A Deadly Separation. Beginning in verse 14, James says, What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? He gives us a scenario to illustrate what he's talking about. Verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? If someone knocks on your door and says, I'm cold and I'm hungry, and you send them away with a smile saying, Be warmed and be filled, and you don't give them the coat to help them in their coldness, and if you don't give them the food to relieve their hunger, your well wishes or my well wishes are absolutely meaningless. And James says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Now here we see a separation taking place. One man says, I have faith. Another man says, Well, I have works. Is that possible? Can you have faith without the works that prove that faith? Can you have true works without faith? Works that God is pleased with without the faith of the gospel? This is a separation that cannot be made. James says, Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. It can't be done. And then James says, I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, as I said, James is bringing us a hypothetical situation of one person having faith and the other person having works, and he lets us know that that cannot be. These two things cannot be separated, and I'd like to illustrate this with an Old Testament story. It's a very familiar Old Testament story. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, Solomon is getting ready to take over as king in the place of his father, David. And we read in verse 5 of 1 Kings, chapter 3, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee. Ask me anything, and I will give it to you. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Solomon is acknowledging that the Lord is making him king now in the place of his father David. And here's what he asks for. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen. a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. He asks for understanding and wisdom. He doesn't ask for riches or military might. He asks for understanding. Give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And he goes on to say, I'm going to give you military might. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you protection because you have asked for this one thing, wisdom. Now, as we go on reading in this chapter, we find out how this wisdom is manifested, beginning in verse 16 of 1 Kings chapter 3. If you have a Bible, it would be helpful to read along. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day that after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. They had babies 2 days apart. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. She rolled over on it and smothered it. And it died. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom. This woman whose child died got up and took the living child and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living child is my son, and the dead is thy son. And they said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake with the king, bringing this problem. Now, how is he going to find out the truth regarding whose child this really was? Listen carefully. Verse 23. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Separate the child, divide the child in two, and both women will be satisfied. You give one half to one and one half to the other. That's the only fair thing to do. Verse 26, Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. It's okay. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Now the one who loved the child was not willing for it to be divided or separated. She would lose it from herself before she would let that child be killed. Now, if this child was separated, what would you have? You would have a dead child. Now, with regard to works and faith, one man says, I have works, another man says, I have faith. If you have works without faith, you have what the writer to the Hebrews calls two times in the book of Hebrews, dead works, lifeless works. And if you have faith without works, what does James call that faith? Dead faith, a faith that will not save. Now, James says, show me your faith without your works. It cannot be done any more than saying be warmed and filled can make someone warm and fill their stomach with food if you don't give them the coat and give them the food. He says, show me your faith without your works. I'll show thee my faith by my works. Now let me say, faith is not merely giving assent to some facts and propositions from the Scripture. Now let me repeat that. Faith is not merely giving assent to some facts and propositions from the Scripture, saying, well, I see the Bible does teach that, and I agree with that. That's what I believe. Look what James says in verse 19. Thou believest that there's one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They give assent to that true proposition from the Scripture that there is but one God. They believe that, but it is not faith, because faith is not merely giving assent to truth from the Scripture. You see, faith is a living and a powerful thing. Did you know it's the gift of God? If you have faith, it's a supernatural gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is a part of the fruit of God the Holy Spirit. It comes from God the Holy Spirit. When Paul spoke in 1 Corinthians 13 of the three things that abide and remain, he said, now abideth, remaineth, faith, hope, and charity, these three. These three are always together. Faith is not merely giving assent to something. It's always accompanied with love and hope. As a matter of fact, Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, faith worketh by love. He said we walk by faith. We stand by faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence that God's done something for me? Faith is the evidence that God has given me a new heart and a new birth and regenerated my soul and given me a new nature. The evidence is faith. The Lord said, according to your faith, be it unto you. He said to his disciples, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. You know, there were some men who brought a man to the Lord while he was preaching. Four men bearing this man, and they couldn't get into him. And they climbed up on the top of the roof, and they knocked a hole in the roof, and they let this man down before the Lord. They never said anything. And the Lord, Scripture says, when he saw their faith. Now, they didn't say anything, but what was it he saw? He saw that these men knew that the only one who could do anything for their friend was the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were going to do whatever it took to get into His presence. You see, faith does something. Faith is not a mere assent to some propositions and facts. We read in Romans 3:25 of faith in His blood. Now take Cain and Abel. Which one proved he had faith in his blood? Abel. He's the one who brought the blood sacrifice. Cain heard the same thing Abel did, but he saw no need to do that. He simply brought the fruit of the ground. We read in 2 Corinthians 4:13 of the spirit of faith. I believe, therefore have I spoken. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Four times we read the just shall live by faith. Ephesians 3:17 speaks of Christ dwelling in the heart by faith. And we read of the shield of faith, which will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We read of the joy of faith, the service of faith, the work of faith, the boldness of the faith. Fight the good fight of faith, keeping the faith. We read that we understand by faith. You're not going to understand anything until you first believe. And until you believe, you will not understand anything. Now, this tells us something about the power of faith. Now, this faith cannot have the works that flow from it separated from it. It can't happen. You can't have one without the other. Faith worketh by love. Now, let me tell you, first of all, what this is not saying. When James says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works." Let me tell you, first of all, what James is not saying. So please listen carefully. James is not saying you can only have assurance that your faith is real by the works that flow from it. What am I saying? Well, somebody says, "Well, I must have real faith because of how good I'm enabled to be. I mean, I read the Scripture, I pray, I witness. I seem to get more and more victory over sin. I seem to get better and better. I must have saving faith." Now, if you really think something like that, you prove you don't have saving faith. You have faith in yourself. Your assurance is based upon how good you think you are, and let me assure you, that's a false assurance. You're blind if you have that high an opinion of yourself. Look how holy I'm becoming. You're as unholy as you could possibly be even thinking something like that. You prove by that you have no idea what holiness is or what righteousness is if you have that high opinion of yourself. Now, James is not saying you have to be really good and you have to see how holy and righteous you are before you can be assured you have faith. That any assurance you have that's not Christ only is a false assurance. And the sooner you get rid of it, the better. James is not saying we gain assurance by how good we are, and we can't really have assurance that we have faith until we see how good we personally are. Secondly, James is not saying we prove to others our faith by our works. James is not saying we prove to others our faith by our works. You've heard that saying, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one." That's foolishness. No one has ever been saved by seeing the good conduct of someone else. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I want to hear the gospel. Now, I want to see someone whose life is consistent with the gospel, and I want my life to be consistent with the gospel. I'm not discounting that, but this idea of I want people to see Christ in me. They didn't see Christ in Christ. They didn't believe on Christ because of His good works. They didn't persecute Him because of His good works. He said, "Many good works have I shown you of my Father. For which of these do you stone me?" And they said, "For good works stone we not, because thou being a man makest thyself God." They were upset with Him about what He said about Himself and about what He said about men and what He said about His salvation. I need to hear the gospel, not just see a good example. I need to hear the gospel. Now, what is the Lord saying? Or what is James saying? And it's the Lord saying it through James. When James says, "Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." Well, what it means is where there's true faith, it's always accompanied with works that demonstrate you really believe what you say you do. Where there's true faith, it will always be accompanied with works that prove you really believe what you say you do. Now, I can go in so many different directions with this. First, it will cause our methods in church, in preaching the gospel, in a worship service, it will cause our methods to line up with our message. The songs we sing, if we really believe grace, are going to exalt the grace of God. They're not going to begin with an "I." I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I will worship. I will praise. I hate these modern praise songs. They glorify the flesh. They're praising me and not God. And if I really believe grace, the songs we sing in our worship services will reflect what we really believe. If I really believe salvation's of the Lord, I'm not going to have an altar call. I'm not going to try to put pressure on people and try to get them to make some kind of decision before everybody. I'm looking to God to take care of the results. I know salvation is not coming down to the front of the church or responding to an altar call. Salvation's coming to Christ. If I really believe salvation is by grace, I'm sure not going to be baptizing infants. You know, I see people in so many churches baptize infants that don't believe, and they'll say, well, we don't think it has anything to do with their salvation. Why do you do it then? The only reason you do something like that is you believe it helps that infant out in some way, and that's a denial of salvation by grace. If we really believe that the gospel is the power of God to salvation, what are we going to do? We're going to preach the gospel. And leave it alone, leave it in God's hands. It's the gospel that's the power of God to salvation, not my ability to talk somebody into something. If I really believe what the Bible says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What's the focal point of what we're doing? It'll be preaching. Preaching the gospel. If we really believe what Romans 6:14 says, you're not under law but under grace, we're not going to use law to motivate and manipulate and to scare people. We preach the grace of God. If we really believe what Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord, what will we do? We'll preach salvation is of the Lord. Election by the Father, redemption by the Son, regeneration by the Holy Spirit. You can't separate the truth. You know that James talks about this separation. You can't separate any aspect of God's truth. It's all one. It's a bunch of different doctrines, there's no doubt about that, but they're all one. And if you leave out one, you've taken away the truth. You've separated it and you've left it dead. It's a whole gospel, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. What is it that proves we really believe in the forgiveness of sins through Christ? We'll forgive. What is it that proves we've obtained mercy? We'll be merciful. You can't be forgiven and obtain mercy and not forgive and not be merciful. It is impossible. What proves we believe God answers prayer? We'll pray. What proves we believe Christ's righteousness is the only righteousness there is and we wouldn't dare look to anything or anyone else but His righteousness only is our only grounds of acceptance? Well, that's what we'll preach. We'll say with David in Psalm 71:16, I've made mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. What proves I really believe I'm a sinner? I look to Christ only as everything in my acceptance before God, and I don't look anywhere else. I don't look to myself in any way. I look to Him alone. My acceptance is only in the Beloved. What proves I love God? I love His people. I love the brethren. What proves I really believe? I rest. I rest in Christ. I don't try to earn God's favor. I rest in Christ. They which have entered into His rest have ceased from their own works, as God did from His. They that believe do enter into rest. Now the faith that is alone is never alone. Now the only faith there is the faith that's alone, and it is never alone. Now what do I mean by that? If you look to Christ alone, you'll have peace. Now, if you look somewhere else, you won't have peace. But if you're looking to Christ only as all that God requires of you, He looks to Christ for, you'll have peace. You'll have joy. You'll have assurance. If you look to Christ alone, you'll repent of all that is contrary to that. If I really believe what Abraham said when he said in Genesis 22:8 to his son, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. I'll look to God to provide all things for me. Everything that God requires of me, God provides for me. Does He require a righteousness? He provides a righteousness. Does He require a new heart? He provides a new heart. Does He require faith and repentance? He gives faith and repentance. I look to Him as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. You know, if I really believe the only place of safety was in the house with the blood over the door when the Lord passed through Egypt that night. You know what would have proved I really believe that? I'd get in the house with the blood over the door and I wouldn't come out. Now, if you really believe that salvation's only in Christ, you'll want to simply be found in Him and nowhere else. That's what proves you really believe what you say you do. I love what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, my works will prove whether I really believe what I say I do. Now, I believe, there are some people who would say, well, I believe what you're saying. I really believe salvation is all of grace. I really believe that. But yet, they go to religious institutions. I will not call a place like that a church, but religious institutions where grace is not preached, where man shares in the glory, where salvation by free will, man's free will rather than God's sovereign will, is promoted, where all kinds of methodology is used that is contrary to the gospel of God's grace, where gimmicks are used and plays are used and they try to appeal to people's flesh and emotions rather than simply preaching the gospel. And they say, well, I believe the gospel. No, you don't. Your works prove that you don't. If you did, you would not be participating in something like that. Your works will prove whether you really believe what you say you do, and my works will prove whether I really believe what I say I do. Now, this is a separation that cannot be made. You can't separate faith and works. If you have faith without works, what do you have? You have a dead faith. A faith that will not save. A faith that's merely intellectual assent, but not that gift which comes from God. Every good gift and perfect gift, like faith, is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us through the word of truth. If you think you have works, well, those works are dead works if they don't flow from a true faith in Christ only as everything in your salvation. Oh, may God deliver us from this deadly separation, trying to separate faith and works. Now, that faith which is alone, and faith is alone, that looks to Christ only, is never, ever alone. This is Todd Nyberg praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.